Now, Kramer and Jess, mornings on Mix 106.5.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Today's a big day, y'all. It is time for the Dreamy Awards.
Ah.
And if you've been around the show long enough, you know what this is. If you're a fan of The Office, it's got the same vibes as the Dundee Awards.
The Dundee. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Our parent company, Odyssey, here locally, we have three different stations. And once a year, we all get together and we have what's called the Dreamy Awards.
Yeah.
Which is like basically
the best, well, the award for someone who gives the best high five. Yeah. And, you know.
Well, some of them are kind of serious.
No, some of them are actually really serious and really good. I feel like, what, there's maybe like three of those that, yeah, like are really, really like well-deserved. And then the other ones are just kind of like, you are the nice.
What did I win?
You are the nicest sweatshirts.
Back in like 2021 or 2022, I won Mr. High Maintenance Award.
Yesterday, and me? I don't know if I want to give names. Well, I feel like no one is up at this point.
That's fine.
So this is just 6 o'clock club. Me, Gina Crash over at 101.9, and Charlie, who like basically keeps this place running technically, were in the kitchen talking about all the other things that we wish that we would have instead of winning a Dreamy Award. And I was like, I would literally have a $7 gift card to Dunkin' than have to, like, that would, like, literally heal my soul than have to sit there for 2 hours for the Dreamies. And Charlie was like, what we should get is all of us should get a $25 gift card so we can get a coffee every week. And, like, we were just going around of, like, just random things that we would rather
I think I'd rather have a mandatory training about something.
Ew, absolutely not. Actually, no. 1,000% no. I would 100% go to the Dreamies versus doing one of those, like, modules that are, like, 2 hours and you have to watch the videos.
Remember
I would
that
rather
today.
Do Dreamies.
Remember that today about 11:45.
At least with the Dreamies, we get free lunch. I don't know what it is, but there's that.
I'm gonna remind Jess. What'd you win that 1 year? What was your award? Jess is also the illustrious winner of a Dreamy here.
Let me see. Oh, I got two.
You've won twice? Oh, I've only won one at this point.
All right. Let me see.
And by the way, do you guys have these? Have you won an award at your office? Do you guys have like office awards? If you have, what did you win at yours? Let us know. 410-583-1065. Text us. What did you win?
One of these is the social media award. That's fair. Thank you very much. That's fine. This one. This is the Rainbows and Unicorns Award, people. To Jessica Dutra. There you go.
I'm rooting for you today, bro. Maybe you'll bring in a third one. You're going for your EGOT when you get all four. When you get four, then you really. Maybe Charlotte will win something this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Charlotte, maybe you can bring home the piece of paper printed on the office computer. Have you won an award at work before? And like, what was it? Maybe it's something really cool. Because some awards are cool. And,
some of them are good.
You know.
There's like about three of them that really deserve the recognition. The other ones, like the rainbows and unicorns ones, they were up late coming up with that one for me.
Really stretching on that.
Now. These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three. With Jess. Number three.
Baltimore has been named the best city in the U.S. for seeing free art. A study analyzed the country's top 50 cities based on how many murals and free art museums they have, as well as the number of art-related TikTok searches for each attraction per 10,000 residents. And Baltimore ended up coming up on the top of this list. AI-based marketing agency Supersize says that the city has 250 murals, which is about as twice as many as Philly, Detroit, Boston, or Dallas. Baltimore also has 4 free art museums and almost 200,000 TikTok searches for free art.
That's pretty rad.
That's really cool.
Number two.
Starbucks is teaming up with Snoopy for a new Peanuts-inspired merch collection coming to Starbucks stores across the country starting today. The Peanuts drinkware, part of a global partnership that celebrates kindness, coffee, and community, features a new Snoopy persona, a Joe Kind Snoopy. In addition to all of the beloved Peanuts characters that you're going to see, they're going to have a cold cup, mug, and stainless steel tumbler with a bunch of Peanuts-inspired designs, and that's going to be available starting just for a limited time at Starbucks starting today. I was curious on what was going on because there's a Starbucks near my apartment, and on the shelves that they typically have all of their merch on, It's just been bare for the last, like, it was bare last week and this last weekend. And I'm like, I know, like, where are the spring things? I'm like, where's the spring tumbler? What the heck?
You're like,
and I
was come like, on, Snoopy.
No, I didn't know what was coming. So now I'm like, okay, so we're going to be seeing those Snoopy cups today.
Number one.
An Othello revival on Broadway starring Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal has made history. The production at the Barrymore Theater is now Broadway's top grossing play of all time, generating $2.8 million with just 8 preview performances. It now exceeded a record held by Harry Potter and the Cursed Child since December of 2023. Now, at 70, Denzel first starred as Othello while he was in college when he was 22 years old, and he spoke with CBS News Sunday Morning about the project and said, quote, "It's the most excited that I've been this century." And Gyllenhaal shared that he's worked his entire career for this moment.
Let's go to our resident Broadway nerd for this one. Charlotte is everything Broadway. In case you don't know Charlotte, she works behind the scenes here on the show.
Hi.
Thoughts?
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about Shakespeare as I do about musicals.
Yeah.
But it sounds incredible.
I know. Some of the Shakespeare stuff, man, like, I want to get excited about it, but I'm like, I'm just not that smart enough to follow it. And I want to be. I want to be classy enough to be like, yo, Othello, like, let's go. But, like, I get in there. I'm like, huh?
I think what's really cool, though, about Shakespeare is even if you don't know what's going on, it sounds so beautiful.
It does sound pretty.
And you can at least stay along with the emotion of it because it's so emotional. And I think just to have the experience of seeing Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal on the same stage acting together like that in that much of an intimate setting, oh my God, right?
Just somebody tell me what's going on before we go there. I'll be confused.
This is Jess, and that's your top three. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
No matter what people tell you, are you fine on missing out on the ball drop in Times Square on New Year's Eve? Like, in your whole entire life. If even people tell you that looks fun, are you okay on never going to that in your whole entire life?
That's something I've always been curious about.
Do you want to go to that?
I also wonder if it's different being someone that was born and raised on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because I would grow up watching that.
Yeah.
And there is a feeling inside of me that would love to experience that in real life, truly.
It looks miserable to me. And I think because I've heard the horror stories of people that have to, like, hold their pee for, like, for you, dude, there's no way.
No, I'm definitely, if I were to go, I would have to have a device.
A diaper.
I would be wearing a diaper for sure.
You
like, there
to.
Are things that I would have to do in order to complete that mission, but I would do it.
There's a list on Reddit. This is Mixed, by the way. Hi, it's Kramer and Jess. There's a list on Reddit this morning. The question is, no matter what people tell you, what is something that you're fine on missing out on? Like, no matter if your friends come to you, like, hey, listen, oh my God, this is so much fun. Like, you've got to go do this. You got to try this. And, like, you see pictures or videos or you just kind of scope the scene out and you're like, there's no way I'm doing that. Like, I'm not doing it. And I thought we could, like, make our own list this morning. I'll give you a couple examples of this just to, like, get the ball started. High school reunions is on here. Not going. I don't personally want to go to it, but I can see why. Like,
as a girl planning her 10-year high school reunion.
You are. Yeah. You're actually planning
that. I have beef with that.
I don't want to go.
Yeah, you're putting in a lot of work to that event.
I really am.
Aww.
Crypto's on this list. I don't understand. I don't want to understand it. It seems complicated. I'm going to lose all my money. I don't understand that.
I don't want any part.
Casinos. Some people say casinos. Mm. those. I can completely understand that. Just add to this list. No matter what people tell you, what's something you're fine on missing out on?
Roller coasters, like crazy, insane roller coasters. It's always like the adrenaline. You need to face your fears. It feels like you're flying. Just do it. Blah, 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 blah. It's so fun, though.
They all are.
I don't care. I have no desire to feel like I'm 1 inch from dying.
You are, though.
And wondering if I'm going to survive. That does not sound fun for me. I don't even like being in a moving vehicle. Why would I put myself on a track that's moving who knows how many miles per hour, spinning upside down and going in loops? Like, I have no interest at all whatsoever.
I feel like death, man. That's the fun. That's the best part about it. Okay, Charlotte, question is, no matter what people tell you, what's something you're fine on missing out on?
I would say, like, Jess, don't hate me, but like running a marathon.
Oh, I know.
That is something I have never had
those
the desire
runners, man.
To do.
I see I you. I mean, yeah. I totally feel it. Like, it's, I've only done a 5K. That's as much as I've done. But also when I've done it, it was themed. And like everyone's matching and everyone was dressed up. Like, I don't know if
a theme would help.
I don't
it
know if
help.
I feel your I feel you on it because you're kind of like, what am I looking at? Like, where's the focus? Like, how am I having that mindset for that long of a time? I also had to pee during that as well. I had to veer off and pee during the marathon.
Hard, man.
I would also say, like, I have a lot of friends that are into like electronic dance music, so they go to like raves where it's like,
oh my god, raves are so fun.
I don't know,
raves are so fun.
Some of these are gonna be so polarizing with some of this stuff,
man. When you're in a bubble with Idris Elba and he's DJing and there's everyone around you jumping up and down and things are glowing, man, it's a whole other world, let me tell you.
With me, man, you cannot sell me on a cruise ship. There is no way. There is no way. You're not putting me on it in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of drunk strangers for a week. There is nobody in this world that could convince me.
It feels like summer camp.
Which is terrible.
It feels
adult
like summer camp.
Drunk adult summer camp. There's no way. What's something that you're fine with missing out on? Let's talk to Mariah. Mariah, give us yours. What is yours?
So I was laughing when I heard Kramer say cruise because that was exactly what I was thinking.
Ain't
you
no
could not see me. You know, everybody says you can't tell. You're out in the middle of the water. You don't know. No. There's a million things to do. But I feel like you know.
We know. Oh, we would know. we would know. We'd be miserable. There's just no way.
No.
Like, I'm not crazy. Like,
there's so many games you can play.
No.
There's so many things you can paint.
Everyone's
there's so
drunk,
many things you can drink. There's
annoying.
So many things you can eat. There's live music.
No.
You can read books.
No.
You can shop.
I can do all
Dude,
of that
there
on
was,
land.
You guys, there was a huge, massive tree in the middle of our cruise ship. Like,
a
real
outside.
Life tree.
A tree outside. But you had another really good one, though. What was your other one?
Skydiving.
Oh, girl, no. Same. No, no way. No, thank you.
Skydivers try to convince us all the time. It's like the most exhilerating experience. We all need to go. There ain't no way.
My face is literally going to rip off my brain. Like, you guys are crazy. I don't want that picture. Also, I don't want that photo. Like, when your cheeks are going all crazy. Like, I literally don't want to see that. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, no. It's not flattering. It's horrifying. Heights are a thing. Good being down here on the ground with everybody else.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys made me laugh this morning. Have a good day.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's really sweet of you. 410-583-1065. Sam, I think you're gonna ruffle feathers with this
I
one.
I think so too.
not me, but I completely understand you. What's the thing? No matter what people tell you, you're just like, nah.
It's Disneyland or Disney World or Epcot or anything. Yeah.
Wait, Sam, you've never been at all ever?
No, I've never. But I am only 24.
Yeah.
But wait,
and you never
want to go, and you don't want to go at all?
I have no will
no,
to go.
There's no reason.
No,
honestly, there's
no,
not.
Sam.
It's so expensive.
I mean, yes, it is super expensive. But
yeah.
Like, also, when you get there, I don't know. It's so fake. Like, I love travel.
Yeah.
I want to go places.
Yeah.
But, like, any place that Disney owns is not one that's, like, city that was like real and historical, and it just doesn't have any value to me.
Sam,
no,
so like, yes, some of the graphics and the light shows may be making fake things, but the happiness is so real.
Oh, but they're paying them to be happy.
They're paying them, Jess.
Everyone is so nice to you. I just really hope, like, I just really hope that you try to go at least just to go to one park at least one time in your life to experience the feeling of when you're there as an adult, because I think that's why Disney adults like it so much, is because, like, there's nowhere in the world where you can, like, truly feel like that and people don't make fun of you for it. So I just really want you to experience it one time, maybe. And then if you hate it, call us back and I'll never force you to go ever again. But I really hope you try it.
All right, maybe that sounds like a deal.
Okay, so it is official. Robots are now delivering food to students at Towson University, and no tips are required. The robot doesn't talk to you. It just rolls up to either your dorm or classroom. But the question is, do we actually trust these things? A pilot program just started this week to test 5 robots that can travel 4 miles per hour and deliver food in up to 10 minutes. They use radar, sensors, and GPS to travel on campus sidewalks. And so basically students will go into the Grubhub app, place their order, and then they can select delivery to utilize the robot. And locations can include outside of the classroom or the residence hall. And I think the automatic question that came to mind is anyone going to, like, steal their item out of this thing? So they did come up with something about that. Yeah. Once it arrives at the location, the student will hit a button saying that I'm here, and then there's some sort of, like, code exchange, and then that's going to unlock their item that the robot has inside whatever, and then they can take it out. Right. And then there's also alarms, cameras, and tracking devices to also help protect against theft. So pros here. It's convenient. Students are really happy about it. Like, if they're sick or something and don't want to leave their dorm, if they're just lazy, don't want to go outside. One student mentioned something about, like, the weather, and also they're really happy about with, you know, not having to tip the robot. But you guys, do we really, like?
Well, what's your concern? You, Jess.
Okay, my concern is, it freaks me out, A. But B, I'm thinking on a college campus, there are these robots that are going to be rolling around, and you're telling me not one student is going to mess with these robots? You're telling me not one student is going to be like, hey, let's take a TikTok with the robot?
I would have messed with a robot. I mean, let's be honest. I would have messed. 19-year-old me would have messed with a robot.
What if the robot runs into you? What if the robot runs into you, and then you're held responsible for the collision with the robot?
I'd have sued the robot.
You know what I mean? How do you feel about this?
Robot suit lawsuits coming up, man. Like, I mean, here's the problem. And you know my theory on this. Like, yo, the robots are just
iRobot.
They're just slowly taking over is the problem, you know? So, like, today it's your DoorDash, but, like, tomorrow we're gonna be at war. You know, today, like, they're bringing you McDonald's, but then tomorrow we're gonna be, like, in the battlefield with them. So, like, I mean, this doesn't bother me per se, but it's just one step closer to domination.
Is 4 miles per hour, like, low-key fast? Because if there's someone
it's
on a bike?
Slow.
Is it?
It's very slow.
Because what if someone is riding their bike and they don't see the robot, and then they get in a crash with the robot?
That's not going to happen.
I don't know.
That's the least of my worries.
How do you know? How is the robot going to stop?
That's the least
of my worries. Also, who has the right of way? The student or the robot?
I'm worried about the domination, Jessica.
I'm thinking about
these
kids.
You're worried about the bikes. I'm worried about the overall.
I'm thinking about the kids.
Robot domination.
When the robot is rolling, who has to stop? I hope it's the robot. The kids are paying for their parents are paying for tuition. I swear, if my kid were to get hit by a robot, you best believe I'm pulling up to TU. And I'm going straight crazy up in there.
I don't know. In all seriousness, I mean, I think it's just the future, man. Like, I just think we have to get used to this. Like, robots are going to be doing things, man. We just kind of got to get used to them doing things. And it's just kind of here to stay. Like, AI. Like, you just kind of have to get used to it. And I hate to say that, but it's just here, you know?
That's true. So. We'll see. Not me.
We'll see. That's the way of ending things. We don't know what else to say other than, like,
we'll see.
Damn it.
Kramer and Jess.
$1,000. Minute. Mix 106.5.
No, I just want you to make that mental note. Mix 106.5, this time, every day, $1,000 and free dashing gas. Cool. Maybe tomorrow it's going to be you. Today, that was caller number 10. And who is this?
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. Good morning.
Good morning.
Barbara, you're number 10.
Oh, I got to take a deep breath. Okay.
You got this. You got this, Barbara.
Take a couple deep breaths. You're good. You're good. You're good today, Barbara.
Oh, thank you.
You did it. You're in. You're up for $1,000 in free gas today. Have you played before, Barbara?
I have.
Well, perfect. You know how this goes. Well, you know, Barbara, you know how this goes. Take a really big deep breath then, and you know exactly how what we're about to do. We're going to go to Jess, have everyone have a really good idea of what we're doing here by explaining the rules, and then we're going to go for $1,000 in free dash in gas. Jess, how do we do this?
If you can answer 7 trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win $1,000 in free dash in gas. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you're out. Now, remember, you can pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass, and then we'll go back to them only if there is time at the end. Barbara, you ready to play?
Yes.
Your chance at $1,000 in Dash and Gas starts now.
Question number one. Today is the last Tuesday of March. True or false?
True.
Correct. Question number two. Whose first number one hit is We Are Never Getting Back Together?
Oh, shoot. Pat.
Question number three. Who played Spider-Man in the 2002 and 2004 Spider-Man films?
Oh, God, Pat.
Question number four. Spell the word conscience.
What word?
Conscience.
Content?
Conscience.
Conscience.
Yes.
C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E.
Correct. Question number five. What was the name of the diner where Saved by the Bell cast often hung out? Question number six. In the list of European countries, which comes first alphabetically? France, Finland, or Germany?
Finland.
That's 60 seconds right there. We're 60 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I know. It was kind of tricky today. A lot of pop culture stuff in there, and the spelling one always kind of gets up there, too.
You did a good job, Barbara, though. We're happy you're back. We haven't chatted with you in a while.
I was going to say, I know your voice sounded familiar. Okay, Barbara, it's all right. Let's go back over these, and let's learn some stuff today. Jessica.
Question number two, back to that one. Whose first number one hit was We Are Never Getting Back Together? That is Taylor Swift.
It was Taylor Swift.
Yes, my daughter's going to be ashamed.
Well, don't worry. All the Swifties, okay. The Swifties wait for the Taylor Swift questions.
It's just, no, it's okay. I don't know why it works out that way. The Swifties never get the Swift questions, and it makes us so sad, but it's okay. All right. Question number three, who played Spider-Man in 2002 and 2004 Spider-Man films? That is Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, that was the only one I saw,
That's
too.
All right. That's fine.
Question number five, what was the name of the diner where the Saved by the Bell cast often hung out? That is the Max.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And question number seven, that last one, on Friends, who played the character of Ross? That is David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer. Yeah, what if us $1,000
okay,
today.
It's okay.
Barbara, it's all good. It's always lovely to hear your voice. And
well, thank you. Yeah, love listening to you guys.
Well, you're so sweet. Barbara. Hopefully you'll call back and we'll try it again. Tomorrow we're going to come back. It's going to be another 7 trivia questions worth $1,000 in free gas, and we'll try it all over again, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Have a good day, Barbara, and head to Dashin' for a burger and a side of crispy fries. Now you can enjoy a burger and 6 ounce of fries side by side at Dashin' today.
What are the odds, you think, of you going back and dating somebody from high school and it actually working out? Like, I don't think those odds are very high. It doesn't sound like it would work unless it was a movie, you know? This is The Mix. It's Kramer and Jess. I was telling the gang here on the show that there is a girl I dated back in high school that is randomly popping up back in my life again. And, like, I'm thinking there's no way that this could actually be a thing. Let me kind of give you a little bit more of a backstory. If you're new to the show, you should probably know I've been single for quite some time now. I don't know. I've been divorced for 6+ years at this point. Not great at dating. Not haven't really gone my way at this point. A couple of weeks ago now, my high school ex-girlfriend reached out to me, and she lives in New York. And honestly, at this point, it's nothing but chit chat, but she is divorced now. And like, I would be lying to you if I said that in the back of my head, I'm not like, interesting. Like, is there any possible way
of like a rekindling situation?
Right. Because we didn't really talk at all when she was married. So like, what is she doing?
And you guys were in high school. How old were you when you actually dated?
16.
Okay, yeah. 16, so 17? this is like a completely new, different human being, both of you.
Right. I mean, right.
Yeah.
We,
no.
We haven't talked, and I mean, we didn't keep up with each other. This is not.
It's essentially like it's essentially matching with a completely, like a complete stranger.
Right. This is not like a classic Maryland story where you guys keep up with each other, throughout life. Like, we haven't talked in years, mm-hmm. right? So then all of a sudden, just like popping up back in my life, I'm kind of like, okay, like this is weird. But I think I would be lying if I wasn't like, well.
Interesting.
I wonder what this is all about. But there's no way that could actually work, right?
When we talked about this on our Uncensored podcast last week, I shared with Kramer my parents' situation. So my parents met when they were in high school, around 15, 16 years old. And they got married when they were around like early 20s, I think like 21, 22 when they first had me. And then they got divorced and were separated for a really, really long time.
Right.
And then they ended up reconnecting. Probably the timeline is very cloudy, but at least like between 6 to 8 years later, as far as like possibly even dating again, which ultimately led them to getting remarried and they're together today.
Which is crazy, right?
Which
is crazy. And so, like, I guess what I'm asking this morning is, now that it's been like another week and I'm like, we're still like kind of chit-chatting, I'm like, is there anybody listening right now that went back and dated somebody from high school? And how'd that go? Like, how'd that go for you?
This is Danielle in Pikesville.
What's up, Danielle?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What happened with you?
Well, my husband and I were married for almost 25 years. August will be 25 years. Mm-hmm. We dated when I was a sophomore and he was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. We broke up. He was mad at me. I broke it off. And, I mean, we talked, but we didn't really talk. He graduated, went into the military. And I graduated. And then I was home. You know, we grew up in the Harford County, Aberdeen area. Mm-hmm. So I knew military pretty well. I knew they would usually be home around the holidays.
Yeah.
So I just happened to reach out around Christmas time when I thought that he might be home. So we were both out of high school. And he showed up, instead of calling me back, he showed up on my doorstep. We started dating, kind of picking up from where we left off in high school. And we married in 2000.
Damn, look at this.
So, I mean,
still together.
You know,
everything's good.
Yeah, still together. You know, we've had our rough patches here and there, 25 mm-hmm. years almost. Mm-hmm. Our son's a graduating senior this year. So, I mean, military, I always told him that being active duty military, he was in the Coast Guard, it helped our marriage. It helped us. You know,
that separation, that time, the time for the both of you. So when you, so Danielle, when you hear this story, I think it's a little different just because you guys, like, you weren't apart that long. But when you hear Kramer's situation, what do you think? Do you think it's something that he should go for?
He could. I mean, it might not have been that, it might not sound like we were that, you know, apart for that long, but we really went our separate ways, even though for those couple years.
Yeah. Which is a big deal, which sometimes is something that you need. Like, the space is good.
Yo, it's crazy, though.
And you never know. Kramer, just try it. See where it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
My parents went through a whole divorce. My parents have been married two times.
Y'all going to have me going back and forth to New York.
And they found their way back, I don't know.
Text from Raven in Carroll County said, my fiance and I dated in high school. We broke up and went our separate ways. Didn't talk for 10 years. 10 years. One random night, I friend requested him on Facebook. Fast forward 4 years, we have an almost 2-year-old and are getting married this August.
Oh,
so,
congratulations,
like, I mean,
Raven.
I don't know, man. It sounds like it could be cuckoo, but is it cuckoo enough to work? I'll keep you posted. But thank you for sharing your stories with us, too. Like, high school people you dated, like, could it actually work years later? Maybe.
You know that feeling when your kids come to you and they need some advice because something is going on in the classroom? As an auntie, I have been put in that position this week and need to help my girls out.
When Jess has a dilemma and is put to the test, she turns to her family because nieces know best.
Yeah. What's up? Welcome to Nieces Know Best, everybody. Feels better than yesterday, doesn't it? Because it is sunny out here in Maryland, and it's time for Nieces Know Best. If you have not been here for this, this is like our... I want you to think of like a... You know, TGIF or like those weekly family sitcoms. That's kind of like what we're getting ourselves into with this. If you don't know Jess's nieces, though, allow us to introduce you to these ladies.
I'm very close to my family, and once a week I chat with my nieces, Abby and Maya. Abby's 13, Maya is 10, about different things that are going on in my life. But this week we're kind of switching things up because Maya needed some advice for kind of what's been going on at school.
So in my class, we had a substitute, and I feel like a lot of people were being disrespectful in class because they were like having side conversations, chatting, and some of them were even lying so then they could do something that our teacher wouldn't normally let us do. So my question is, how do you make sure that other people's behaviors don't affect you?
That's a really tough question. Abby, you go first. What do you think?
I think the best thing you can do is try to ignore it. And if you can't do that, talk to someone about it and maybe even talk to this person and be like, hey, doing A, B, and C is really affecting me.
That's really good advice. And Maya, do you think this was happening because it was a substitute teacher versus your teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because whenever we have substitute teachers, it's chaos.
Yeah. I do think that you can say something, but I honestly think it always depends on your delivery. Sometimes that's not always going to work. So you do have to just be able to tune everything out and focus on what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I hope it helps.
Thanks, I'll try. Get me out of this classroom.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
I don't know, man. Those substitute teacher days were like the best ones. I was the other kid. I was the one telling the sub, like, no, see, we don't do that. We don't, whatever she said we do on these days, we don't. So don't, we just be resting on days like this. So like,
we had a longer conversation, which we'll put on social media, but it was like a bigger thing because what I tried to explain to her is like, this is something that you're going to experience for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All of us can relate to that feeling of whether it be in school or at work and having to be around things or people that aren't necessarily your favorite. And how do you move through life without allowing those outside factors to affect you?
Yeah.
And so it was a really cool conversation that we got to have in a way that she could understand at this age and start to like implement those things now.
Right.
Versus like because she has such a big heart and she felt so upset for the teacher,
right,
you know, and
right.
she was getting very frustrated of people not listening. So it was a really sweet conversation this week. And I was happy that I could be there for her in that.
I think you're right. It doesn't get better. If it's sub day or if it's, you know, the office potluck or whatever it is, there's always going to be those people that you're going to have to be around. That's a good point. Okay. That's called Nieces Know Best.
Have you ever had someone ask you a question only to immediately start talking about themselves? Because it turns out that there's actually a term for that. It's called boomer asking. So boomer asking is when you ask someone a question just so you can talk about yourself and the question goes back to them like a boomerang. So that's where that term comes from. A blogger actually coined the term a few years ago, but it's currently trending because a new study found that there are three common versions of boomer asking. So number one, ask bragging, like, how was your vacation? Just to basically talk about their vacation. Mine was great. I went here, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number two, ask complaining. So asking, how's work? Well, yeah, I've actually had the worst week ever. And let me tell you about my week, right? And number three, the last one, ask sharing. So this one is very similar to ask bragging, but without the bragging. So you might ask something random, like, what do you think about Cybertrucks? Just so you can talk trash on Cybertrucks yourself, right? So the study found that we as people attempt to do this because we think that it's the polite way to bring something up, but it actually just does the opposite. It comes across as very self-absorbed because you're really not actually interested in the person you're speaking to. You're more so interested in talking about yourself.
I think a lot of humans do this though, man. Like the more that I'm trying to like be present with people nowadays, I realize that a lot of people bring up things just so they can talk about it themselves. Like I sit down with a lot of people recently because I'm trying to make new friends. And I realize that when people ask questions about me, usually it just gets turned back around about them, which is fine. And I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't make me think poorly of them, but I realize that, like, even if a question gets turned towards me, it rarely ends up being about me. But then I realize sometimes I'll do it, and y'all, I'm just as guilty of this sometimes. I had a friend whose mother passed away this week, and I was like, hey, what can I do for you? Can I come? You know, can I come be with you? She's like, hey, why don't we have lunch? I'm like, sure, no problem. And like halfway through the lunch, I was like, hey, we're like talking more about me for some reason than we are about you. I don't even know how we got here.
When it was for her.
And she was like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, I don't even mind that we're talking about more about you. But I was like, this is like not what we're supposed to be doing. Like, we come to spend time with you. Like, I don't even know that we realize that we're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's something to really keep in mind, especially with your partner, and something that Garage Boy and I have implemented for when we discuss each other's days, when we see each other at the end of the day, is we genuinely ask, how was your day? And we let the one, like, from beginning to end, talk about your day fully and like what that meant, what that entailed, and how that felt. And then once that is done, then you go to the other person and genuinely ask them how their day was, and so they can finish it from beginning to end. And it's something that I really wanted to do because my husband is so intentional with the way he speaks. So there's a lot of pausing in between his words. And so for me to not want to jump in or talk over, it's just easier for me to be like, this is his time. And right. until he's like done, and I know for sure he's done, then we can carry on the conversation just so he can truly get out what he wants to speak about, just because we communicate differently.
How many times,
you know what I mean?
How many times too have you asked your partner, like, how was your day? Really just wanting to talk about your day versus really giving a damn how much you really care about their day. And that's really a question you got to ask yourself, which is like, because, you know, maybe you had a really bad day and you're like, yo, I just can't wait to talk. But like, I don't want to come across like I'm just talking about myself. So I'm really just going to be like, yo, how was your day?
But it doesn't hurt. Obviously, the point of conversation is for both of you to discuss. So I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. But I think it's something we can all keep in mind to avoid boomer asking, is to truly let the other person finish their thought completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Monica from Perry Hall. Am I a bad mom if I expect my server to clean up after my kid?
At a restaurant?
Yeah.
Good question. This is Mix 106.5. It's Kramer and Jess. Actually, Jess used to be a server. For those who don't know, this would be really interesting.
Yeah, I was in the service industry for over 10 years.
So let's discuss. If you're new to this time of week, this is where parents ask for their parenting to be judged. So you can assist with this. Jess, what are we doing?
Parents call in and share a situation when someone in their life has called them a bad mom or a bad dad. And we just kind of like to take a look at what was happening and maybe give an outside perspective on the situation. So what happened exactly? Monica.
So my sister was in town. We went out to eat with my one-year-old. Okay. Mm-hmm. As we're waiting for the food, I give him some crackers. And, you know, he's one, so he's like crumbling up the crackers. Yeah. Some French fries came. He was dipping the French fries and like rubbing them on the table. But like, he was amused enough that my sister and I could actually have a semi-conversation. It was a combination of different food elements. Mm-hmm. Okay. To be expected, okay. Our server was very nice. I did tip her 20%.
Sure.
I feel like that's what I'm paying for. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm paying to go out and be able to have a conversation and not clean up a mess. So as we were leaving the restaurant, my sister was like, are you going to clean that up? And I was like, what are you talking about? No. And then she called me a bad mom.
Because you wouldn't clean it up?
Right.
So she thinks that you're supposed to clean that kind of stuff up.
Yes.
You're like, but that's not what we do around here. This isn't my house.
So you think it's completely fine for a mess to be left behind because you feel like that's what they're getting paid to do?
Well, and that's what I'm tipping for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she expected you to, like, clean up the mess around you.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to get down on the floor
right. And
pick up the cracker,
water. Right.
Like,
and you never have done that. Any restaurant you take your son to, you don't do that. You expect that the tip is kind of like a catch-all for those kind of stuff. Okay.
No, right. And I like to go out, like, at least once a week if I can.
Yeah.
And that's, like, my time.
Right. Let's talk about this. So Monica's saying, hey, listen, my one-year-old, we go out sometimes and like, you know, he makes a mess. He's one. What do you want? If he does, I kind of expect the server to clean it up. My sister was pissed. She was like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to clean this up. That's what moms do when they go out. It's not the server's job. The server's job is to serve. Is she in the wrong for doing this? Like, I don't know. I guess we could actually use some servers and moms. 410-583-1065. Jess, you were a server a long time. What do you think?
I don't agree with your perspective, Monica. I do understand that things are going to happen. And no, I don't expect you to be on your hands and knees and picking up every single thing. However, I think it could be a sign of common courtesy for where you are, for the staff that already has a lot going on. And it's also a shared space. With you describing the severity of the mess, I think what's alarming to me is, why did it get to that point in the first place? I think it also sets an example. Like, I don't feel like anyone can just go to a restaurant and throw stuff around because they expect it to get picked up. And I don't think that's fair, to be honest.
But that's what I'm paying for. That's the whole point of going out to eat.
I kind of see your point. Like, if I spill a drink, like, it's not like it's my fault. It's kind of the same thing. Like, as a server, aren't you kind of expected to clean up the mess? And, like, I don't know that you're necessarily in the wrong for this one. I'm kind of curious how this will go. So Monica's saying, listen, I take my kid out to eat. My kid makes a mess. I don't think I'm in the wrong for not picking up after. My sister thinks I'm a bad mom for doing this, but I don't think I am. But is she doing the wrong thing here?
This is Haley on 2 calling in from Darlington.
What up, Haley?
Hi, good morning.
Is Monica in the wrong or no?
I think she's in the wrong to a certain extent. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and our rule is when we go out to eat, we do not leave messes for other people to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's, like, little crumbs and stuff like that, obviously, I'm not getting on my hands and knees to clean the floor.
Right.
But if you leave a big mess, it's nice to pick up, you know, the menu that falls on the floor, or the napkin, or the silverware, or the big pieces of food. There's a big mess on the table, just sweep it into a pile.
Yeah, like, I get that. I guess I understand that, except for, like, if I spill a drink, I'm not getting a rag to, like, wipe it down with. So I guess that's my big confusion here. Like, if I had a kid that was making a big mess, like, I don't know whose responsibility it is.
I think,
you know,
there's levels to it, and I do feel like there is a certain level of common courtesy that I think everyone with kids or with not and without kids should just respect when eating out places.
410-583-1065.
This is Whitney on 4 in Bel Air.
Hey, Whitney.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. So, I mean, is Monica in the wrong by not cleaning after a kid at a restaurant?
She is, in my opinion. Your child is your responsibility, not the server's. The server's job is to serve you. I've been taking my daughter out since she was an infant because I wanted her to know how to behave in a restaurant and show respect. And our rule is that we always leave places cleaner than where we left it. And so, or when we came. And so we always have disposable tape-down placemats.
Oh, wow.
And a disposable bib, and then anything that she drops gets wrapped up in that, and I absolutely will get on the floor. Normally the server says, no, we've got it. And I always say, this is my job, not yours. Thank you for taking care of our food. But what example are we setting for our kids if we're allowing them to just leave a mess?
Mm-hmm.
And then at what point turn it around when they're older and say, oh, well, now you're old enough that you need to clean up after yourself, or does it give them the right as adults to start leaving a mess? And so I think that even with children, we need to set a good example.
Damn, that's a valid point. Like,
yeah.
I get it. I wonder if most parents feel that way. Give me one more, Jess.
This is Jamie on 1 in Baltimore.
What up, Jamie?
Hi, good morning.
I mean, do you agree?
No, she's definitely in the wrong. I've been a server for 10 years, and it's just a common courtesy and basic manners. I feel like you're supposed to be teaching your child manners and how to act in public. And there's a difference between, like, little crumbs, right, like other people were saying, and, like, you know, stuff on the table. But if your child's throwing french fries around, spreading, you know, ketchup on the table, like, that's your responsibility to clean up after them and to teach your child that that's not okay. We're getting paid to serve you, not to be your maid. So I think she's coming from a pretty privileged place. I feel like she's never worked in the service industry, by the way, that she's talking.
Yeah.
Because nobody... That's a server's responsibility to clean up a 9.5 catastrophic mess that your child made that you allowed.
Well, I mean, Monica, how does that make you feel then? I mean, if you got servers and parents all saying that, like, it's the wrong thing to do, then, like, what is that?
Well, they're wrong. I'm paying for a service here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for that. Like, I'm paying for her to clean. And that's what it is. And, you know, I used to tip less. Now I tip 20%. My job is to relax. And my server's job is to serve us.
Wow, okay.
Like, that's what I'm paying for. Okay. My job is to sit there and relax as much as I can.
Yeah.
And I don't get a lot of time to relax as a mom.
Right.
You know,
right,
like a lot of people don't understand.
Right,
This is what it's like as a mom.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.